good morning, everybody. The sound of the Hawaiian music tells us it's time for our next Radio Top Tropicals. Happy Saturday. Welcome to Radio Top Tropicals, where we answer all your tropical gardening and gardening-related questions. Just as a reminder, you can listen to us live on our Mixlr site. That's mixlr.com/toptropicals. Alternatively, you can also call into our studios at 239-887-3323. That's 239-887-3323. And our production staff will make sure we get the questions live on the air. Now, today our topic is, oh no, it's organic. How more people are killed each year from eating organic fruits and vegetables than are poisoned with pesticides. Intriguing topic. And to introduce our topic today is our own International Certified Crop Advisor, Robert Reefer. Robert, good morning and welcome.
Hey, good morning. Title of our show is, Oh No, It's Organic. Well, a few thousand years ago in ancient Greece, there was a man by the name of Socrates. He read a few plays, and unfortunately, the political establishment at his time did not like it very much. So they decided to kill him with a poison. Totally organic. We call it hemlock. So just because something is all natural and organic does not necessarily make it safe for human consumption or to be exposed to it. Don't forget, plutonium is made from nature. Now, a couple of stats that I was able to get off of the internet. And of course, we all know that we can totally trust the internet. Har hardy har har. However, the sources are fairly reliable. This one comes from the World Health Organization, run by the United Nations. It says here, the UN agency released findings from an upcoming study that found 582 million foodborne illnesses in 2010, which resulted in 351,000 deaths. The main culprit is Salmonella and E. coli. Talk about your weapons of mass destruction. Oh no, it's a carrot! Now, also, we even had in Germany an E. coli outbreak. Bean sprouts from an organic farm in northern Germany caused the E. coli outbreak that has killed 31 people and infected thousands more, German officials said on Friday. This was from in sample of Science Correspondent, and the date is Friday, 10th of June, 2011. Now, I don't want you to think for a moment that pesticides are perfectly safe. However, one thing you should bear in mind is that organic is not perfectly safe. To give you an example also of what pesticides have done to poison people, there is an updated at Tuesday, January 23rd, 2017 of this year. 10 people were inside a mobile home. Children from ages 7 to 17 died. This happened when a person sprayed water on a pesticide that had been previously laid there. And basically that happened to be a home ownership issue, not an agricultural issue. We also have some information as to how deadly pesticides can be. It says in 2002, an estimated 69,000 children were poisoned by pesticides in the U.S. Okay, this means drink the Kool-Aid, don't drink the pesticide. The World Health Organization also reports 220,000 people die each year worldwide because of pesticide poisoning. 80% of the pesticides are used in rich countries such as the United States. However, most of the poisonings occur in poor countries. Now, it is true, farmers who use pesticides have a significantly higher rate of cancer incidence than non-farmers. You really have to remember that pesticides were invented because people got tired of eating bugs and rodent feces. One of the other interesting things, if you want to get into organic farming, we look at the Salem witch trials, where the women even thought they were witches. They raised their rye crop for bread in a swamp. Well, it just so happens that there's a fungus that exudes a poison to humans, and it's known as LSD. So basically, they were baking this bread, getting a hit of LSD, seeing blood dripping from the walls. So the test to find out if a person was a witch was to give them a witch's cake. This is where the bread was fed to a dog. The dog urinated back onto more bread. This is where the witch urinated onto the cake. It was fed to the dog, and if the dog wound up going berserk, then they knew the woman was definitely a witch. So the dog eating the same bread that had the LSD component in it would freak out. And the next thing you know, the population of females in Salem, Massachusetts gets significantly less. So we do not want to make light of this. We just want you to be safe and alive, so that you can visit our Top Tropicals website and buy more plants. Plants are best grown when alive and worst at funerals. So we just want you to be happy, healthy, and safe this Easter. So let me ask, Mark has some fascinating questions, I believe, and I'd like to hear some of them.
Yes, okay, well, yeah, that's some facts, lots of scary numbers, and quite honestly, I visited Salem a number of times, and that is not a fact they teach you at the tour of Old Salem, so thank you for the enlightenment. So, questions. Oh no, it's organic. A famous Mexican fast food chain comes to mind where they served or attempted to serve everything organic, and people died. Chipotle comes to mind. Have you heard of this?
I'm not aware of the specific restaurant, but once again, oh no, it's organic. Here, have some E. coli. Here, have some tomatoes from Mexico that are fertilized with raw human feces and sprayed with, by the way, DDT.
All right, so now that we've scared our listeners, let's give them some good information. Last week, we talked about some fertilizers, some natural options for fertilizers, as well as the correct way to apply fertilizers. So let's talk about our first question, which is along those lines. Is there something I should be washing my fruits and vegetables in once I get them home so we don't experience all these scary facts that you've told us about?
Good old-fashioned hydrogen peroxide, H2O2. 1 pint per gallon, or 1 pint in approximately 10 parts of water. 8 parts of water. At any rate, this is one of the best methods used. I remember my father telling me that when he was in World War II, they soaked all the fruits and vegetables in bleach and got a very nasty taste. Now, hydrogen peroxide breaks down into two chemicals which the human body can easily deal with. It's called oxygen and water. So just because a pesticide or chemical is safe during application doesn't mean that it might not break down into something worse. So basically, I would do that. Also, rule number one, take it from Rocky Raccoon. Wash your food. There was an incident of some cantaloupes that were, I believe they were cantaloupes, they were some type of melon, where cow manure actually got onto them. People did not wash the outside of the cantaloupe, and they ended up inoculating the fruit with E. coli bacteria. So these are some of the many dangers. Rule number one, wash your food, wash it thoroughly.
A good rule. So it seems to me that some of this organic adventure, if you will, came about from people worried about pesticides, that residue was left on their food. So here's a good question. How much of a pesticide is left on a fruit or vegetable once it reaches the grocery store? So you bring it home. I know you mentioned washing it, but is there a difference between the organic and non-organic pesticides? And should we wash our food in any case?
In either case, organic or non-organic, wash your food. For this reason, I'm constantly amused by all these commercials that say it's made from hand-picked fruits and vegetables. Okay, great, it's hand-picked. Whose hands? You know, employees must return to work or must wash their hands after returning to work. And you have, right now, the poor migrants have been hit pretty hard. And you got to remember that when you are working in hot fields, minimum wage, the whole nine yards, your health might not be exactly the greatest. So you can not only pick up disease from the E. coli, which might be, or salmonella, which may be in organic gardening. You can also pick up these critters from stuff that is grown inorganically. But think about this. Hepatitis, diphtheria, cholera, many of these diseases. If the agricultural worker decides to poop right there in the field rather than go to the porta potty provided them, you could contract cholera possibly. So you really need to be careful. It's called wash your food. Now, the amount of pesticide in a fruit or vegetable is dependent upon two factors. Number one, what was the pesticide? Many of these pesticides have long half-lives. Some have short half-lives, ranging anywhere between several hours to a few years. And in addition, some pesticides are contact. In other words, they stay on the outside of the plant. Others are systemic, where they go inside the plant. Now, any pesticide salesman will always tell you that, don't worry, that pesticide doesn't go into the fruit or vegetable. Okay, well, don't forget, Eve was conned into eating an apple because the salesman said it was perfectly good to eat.
The salesman, I like it. Robert, before we go on, I wanted to let our listeners know that we announced yesterday by newsletter a special discount for our friends that are listening to Radio Top Tropicals. So we're going to reward all of our listeners, tell your friends to listen, and that discount code is this, Radio 20. That's Radio 20 for all of our listeners. You can use that code, minimum $100 order for the next week. It expires midnight on April 22nd for 20% off all of your orders as our way of thanking you for listening to Radio Top Tropicals. Again, that's Radio 20. Okay, Robert, moving on with the organic, I know that there's some confusion as to what that means. So we go to the store, we see organic fruits and vegetables. The cost sometimes is double, even more than, say, the non-organic.
And yet we're recommending that we wash our fruits and vegetables in either case. So what is the advantage, if any, for these organic fruits and vegetables? Can you help our listeners understand?
I personally see no advantage whatsoever. However, this is a question and matter of personal choice. You eat what you want to eat, I'll eat what I want to eat. And so basically, once again, caution is the word. How many times did your mama tell you, don't put that in your mouth, you don't know where it's been? Also, it's a very good point for abstinence. Hang on one moment. Here we go, Mark.
Okay. All right. So let's move on to our questions. Here's a good one. You could help me with this. I live in zone 6B and have great plants. Is there anything I can grow in my zone from your website? Now, Robert, help us understand, what is zone 6B? How do they determine that? And give our call-in questioner some advice on some great plants to grow in 6B.
Well, zone 6B is damn cold. You got a lot of snow up there. My advice would be, if you get something here, top tropicals, number one, bring it indoors in the wintertime. We have one of the very nice plants. We have some beautiful green tea plants that can be a patio plant and is fairly cold tolerant. It grows up into South Carolina. And by the way, the only tea plantation in the United States is in South Carolina. So if you get something, don't say for all the tea in South Carolina, say for all the tea in China. So we are top tropicals. We are not top temperate or top Arctic or Antarctic. But yeah, zone 6B. I would also encourage you to consider moving to the great state of Florida, where we're 9, 8, 9, and 10. It's a lot warmer down here. And you might as well be happy and warm. You aren't going to make any money down here, but still, you'll at least be warm.
That piece of information brought to you by the Florida Chamber of Commerce. Come down here, you'll enjoy the weather, but you won't make any money. All right, next question. Robert, is there a vegetable that will give me a high yield all year? I had to read that question twice to make sure I got it right. Is there a vegetable that will give me a high yield all year?
Okay, as far as all year is concerned, don't forget, our vegetables here are annuals, which means you're planting them in the spring and pulling them up by fall. If you're up north. Now, down here in Florida, it's so warm that we double crop every year. So we're actually planting our veggies either in the late winter, early spring, or late fall, early winter, excuse me. I would say, as far as high yield crops are concerned, have greens. Greens are good for you. I like collards. I like mustard. I love turnips. I love broccoli. That's where you're eating the whole plant. I mean, everything that's growing, you're getting a piece of it. Your fruiting vegetable crops, like your peppers, your tomatoes, your eggplant, you're only getting a percentage of the biomass that you're fertilizing and feeding. So very quick growing crops are like radishes, turnips, and the like.
Well, speaking of greens, we have a question here. Do you know of any heat-tolerant lettuce? So, especially for us down here in Zone 10, heat-tolerant lettuce, what are we looking for?
The only heat-tolerant lettuce that I am aware of is found in the grocery store in the refrigerated produce section. Heat-tolerant lettuce is... And don't forget, heat tolerant, but at what temperature? Here during the summers in Florida, Satan vacations in hell because it's too hot for him here. Actually, he said it's not really the heat, it's the humidity. But no, I would discourage anybody from even attempting. Now, there is a plant called Malabar spinach, which is a perennial vine, which can put up with some heat. In addition, of all things, there is a euphorbia called tropical spinach, and many euphorbia are poisonous. Some people have said that they eat it without any ill effect, but I'm not sure. Some of the side effects can be it'll make you speak French Creole.
Satan vacations outside of Florida. I knew he was a snowbird.
During
the summer. Satan the snowbird. Another question regarding edibles. One of our listeners asked, I noticed you have clove online. I know we mentioned that in our show last week. Is this actual edible clove?
Yes, it is. And you can take your beautiful cloves, dry them, and my suggestion is find yourself the largest ham you can. So, yes, these are indeed edible cloves. And, by the way, we have them here. Just visit our Top Tropicals website and see not only cloves, but a myriad of all sorts of spices, fruits, veggies, and plants that basically are for your enjoyment and delight.
Okay, and I know we started a video series as well, 10 plants that'll make you happy. So you can go to our YouTube channel and watch the first few of those series. We'll be continuing that. Robert, here's a question regarding potatoes. Do you have any tips on growing potatoes? When I try to grow them, my potatoes are always really small. Vegetables in general, potatoes specifically, what can we offer for help?
Well, first of all, if you go to the grocery store, you'll find that your small potatoes are your most expensive potatoes. I wouldn't worry about it. Now, one thing you can do, I have actually seen people slowly raise the soil level around a potato plant and literally create a column of bricks with it. And what this does is it makes the roots grow more and the gives you basically more potatoes. So don't worry if you don't have large potatoes. I would say enjoy the small ones. They're generally more tender and delicious.
Excellent. Here's a question we had regarding pomegranates. Let me find that question here. Where was that?
Try under P.
Here we go. That's under P. My pomegranate keeps losing its leaves. Is there something I am doing wrong?
All right. First of all, if your pomegranate is in a pot, you may be overwatering, you may be underwatering. Same thing goes for in the field. Excuse me. It's kind of tricky. A pomegranate likes well-drained soil. It also likes to be a little damp, but not overwatered. They can be very tricky critters. They do grow in desert regions such as Egypt, but don't forget you got the Nile Delta over there.
Robert, going back to the potato question real quick, I know last week we talked about a product that Top Tropicals has, Sunshine in a Bottle. Will that work for fruits and all vegetables as well?
It should. Our main experiments utilizing sunshine have been with tomato plants. And what we did, we took some tomato plants, gave them absolutely no fertilizer, no maintenance other than water, and the tomato plants that we gave the sunshine to versus an untreated control where all they received were water was water, the mass of the plants or weight was 6 times.
Impressive information. Okay, Robert, we have another question. Does your company ship internationally? Do we ship internationally, Robert?
We most certainly do. We have shipped to the Middle East. We ship to Russia. We ship basically anywhere.
You know, we should also do a video on our shipping department. Those folks over there work so hard. They put these amazing packages together, plants all over the country, all over the world, delivered to your doorstep, bug-free, and ready to put in the ground. A shout-out to everybody at shipping. Okay, so, Robert, before we wrap it up today, let me talk to our listeners about our newsletter. I remind you always to sign up for our newsletter, where you'll not only find what's happening at Top Tropicals, but you're able to get some great discount codes. We have an Easter special in preparation for tomorrow Easter. 15% off on all plant inventory. There is a $50 minimum order, but other than that, you can just put in the Easter 15. We also have specials, free slow-release fertilizer with any $150 or greater order, including your 15% discount, and also free sunshine booster. We just mentioned sunshine with any order over $200. So all of those discounts can be combined, the free sunshine, the free fertilizer, and your Easter 15% discount. And also a reminder for you radio listeners that are listening live, the Radio 20 discount code is good for any order over $100 for 1 week, expires midnight on April 22nd. Robert, what's in line for our show next week?
Our show next week, the title is Eat Me, and it discusses the lack of fresh fruits and vegetables in our diets. We basically have herbivores, which are plants, carnivores, which are meat. Today in this society, however, we have become technivores, and that is the pre-processed, synthetic, manufactured food. Soylent Green, anyone?
I love that movie, Soylent Green. So next week, live Radio Top Tropicals. Eat Me, discussing lack of fresh fruits and vegetables. I think we have time for one more question, Robert, just arrived here. Speaking of tomatoes, when is tomato season over in Florida? I know you mentioned we double crop, and can someone who lives in Florida plant tomatoes now?
Well, you can try. Now, there are two types of tomato plants, determinate and indeterminate. Indeterminate tomatoes actually will live longer than a year. Determinate tomatoes are annual. By about May, however, late May into early June, it is far too hot. Please remember that most of the tomatoes, actually, even though they're hybrids that have been bred 100 generations away from a good tasting tomato, the actual species reside in Central and South America at altitudes of 5,000 feet or more. So these are actually alpine plants. So I would recommend the Everglades tomato, and I've been tracking down a special variety of it. They are tiny, sweet, delicious red tomatoes, like cherry tomatoes, and taste like a lump of sugar, practically.
Wow, I like the sound of that. All right, last question. I lied. We have one more question. Do cucumbers grow in a tropical climate?
Yes, indeed. Cucumbers will grow in a tropical climate. They are a cucurbitaceae, which is a fancy word, way of saying your gourds, melons, and the like. So they definitely will grow in tropical climates.
All right, well, that'll wrap the show up for this week. Remember, Easter 15, that's Easter 15, your special Easter discount coupon. And, of course, for you radio listeners, Radio 20, good for 20% off for 1 week. I want to thank everybody for joining us next week, Saturday. We'll see you same time for our next presentation, Eat me. Interesting. Good night. See everybody tomorrow or next week.